From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Currently, Dr. Alan Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message dealing with the titles of the Holy Spirit, particular designations of the Spirit given in the Bible, which help us to understand a number of important things about the Spirit. We've seen that these titles show the Holy Spirit's equality with the Father and the Son. They also point to His personal properties, His goodness, His holiness. In addition, these titles reveal the Spirit's wonderful works in and for God's people. We've seen Him portrayed as the Spirit of promise, as the Comforter, as well as the Spirit of judgment and of burning. Finally, He's the Spirit of might, the source of power for God's people. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, Is the gift of tongues available today? This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
There are just a few places in the New Testament that actually deal with the gift of tongues. Notably, Acts chapter 2. There are other references in the book of Acts, but Acts chapter 2 is the all-important chapter in that book. And then 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, especially chapter 14. Although, as I point out, there's a very, very important statement in chapter 13 that most people never really take much notice of. So, is the gift of tongues available to the church today? The answer is no, for a very good reason. You've got to understand what the Bible meant, what it still means when it talks about the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues was a gift of speaking in foreign languages, conveying the message of God to people of another tongue without having to go to school to learn their language. It was an instantaneous gift whereby God enabled, say, people who spoke Greek to speak to a barbarian who didn't speak Greek, or people who spoke Latin to speak to people who could only understand Hebrew. That would be a gift of tongues. That's what the Bible meant. Every time, and you must grasp this, every time the Bible uses the word of this supernatural gift, it is the gift to speak in foreign languages. Now, the evidence of that is very clear. First of all, in Acts chapter 2, not only does it use the word tongue or language, it actually uses the word that has come into English as the word dialect. So, it was as refined as that, right down to the dialects. These were real foreign languages. That was the gift. Furthermore, writing to the Corinthians, and that's a portion of Scripture that many people want to force into service in support of the notion that, no, these are not foreign languages, these are ecstatic tongues, which is just another word for gibberish, by the way. But writing to the Corinthians, the apostle, speaks of these tongues and they're being interpreted. Now, the word interpreted is actually the word that's used when the Lord Jesus expounded. What does that mean? It means it's taking the words and showing their meaning. These were languages that could be actually explained. Furthermore, they were languages that could be learned. Paul said, if you're speaking in these tongues or languages, and the unlearned are there, they can't understand you. So these are tongues that may be expounded, they're tongues that may be learned. So the gift of tongues was a gift supernaturally given by God to His servants to enable them to go out, spread the gospel very quickly by being able to preach to people in their own tongue, in their own language. So it's good that we understand that that is the gift the New Testament's talking about. Now, is that available today? Well, no, it's not. And first of all, I'd have to say, I don't know any group that claims that it is available. I don't know any group, doesn't matter what they call themselves, Pentecostals, Charismatics, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Methodists, anything else. I don't know any group who sends forth its foreign missionaries without having them do language training. When Pentecostals go to the foreign field, they've got to learn the language the same as everybody else. And furthermore, they have the same failure rate in learning the language as everybody else. There's no such thing as them going simply, as the apostles did, and preaching to the people because they have the gift of being able to speak in foreign languages wherever they may go. It just doesn't happen. So I don't know anybody claims that the actual gift that the apostles had is what is their experience today. But the biggest thing is the Bible said that tongues would cease. Now, it says two things about the cessation of tongues. First of all, it talks about the time when it would happen. And then it tells how it would happen. For the moment, let me emphasize how it would happen. And this is something that is very, very carefully set out in the Greek text of 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. English translations do not reflect it usually, but it says, where there are tongues, they shall cease. Now, here we've got to get a little bit technical. The verb there is what is called the middle voice. Now, cut to the chase. What does that mean? It means tongues will cease of themselves. What we would say in modern English is tongues will peter out. Now, that's not my word. That's not my theory. That's the inspired word of the apostle in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. Tongues will peter out of themselves. They'll come to a halt. Now, is the Bible right there, or is the Bible not right there? Was Paul right on the money when he said tongues would peter out? Or was he not? Obviously, I believe the Bible. And that's why I say, no, the gift of tongues is not available in the church today. A, because of the nature of the gift, and I don't know anybody honestly claims that they are experiencing what the early church experienced through the apostles, and B, because the apostles actually said this gift will peter out. I believe it has done so, and I believe God has made arrangements, if I could use that word, for his servants yet to take the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit to win the world for Christ. But not because the gift of tongues is still available. According to Scripture, it's not.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Great Revival, which took place in Ulster in 1859, a moving of God's Holy Spirit which saw literally thousands of people swept into the kingdom of God. Five of our Free Presbyterian ministers will deal with various aspects of the revival. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of the Reverend John Wiley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And what is the greatest need of the church today? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You are sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Given you beauty, strength of body, etc. Thank Him for it, but don't get proud about it. If God has given you talent or place, use it for God, but don't get proud about it. And then there's pride not only of face and of place, but there's pride of grace. I want to tell you, of all pride, that's the filthiest of all. Paul was very much aware of this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, lest I should be lifted up because of all the spiritual blessings that God has given me. Lest I be lifted up God gave me the thorn in the flesh. The spirit of the fear of the Lord to keep us humble. Then there's another title. Isaiah 4 and verse 4. Another one that's not often mentioned is the spirit of judgment and of burning. You just stop and think of that. What does it mean? He searches. He refines. He burns up the dross. The Holy Spirit is like a burning flame within the life of the believer. The Lord Jesus said, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came as the sound of a rushing mighty wind and tongues like as of fire. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of burning. God knows there is dross enough in the church of Jesus Christ today. God knows among the people of God today, there is loose living. There is carnal living. There is worldliness that would never have been tolerated in days gone by. We are living in a day when it doesn't really matter anymore how much like the world a Christian can become. He talks like the world, he thinks like the world, he acts like the world, and he simply puts God as a PS to the letter of life. Well, I want to tell you, my friend, that sort of thing needs to be burned out of us by the blazing operation of the Holy Ghost. He's the spirit of burning. Oh, that he would start burning in our midst. When the Holy Ghost starts burning in your heart and my heart, when he gets the old frigid, frosty coldness out of our lives, when the Holy Ghost starts getting the dross out of our lives, and that's a very, very painful refining process that I don't like any more than you like. But when he starts to do that, and the fire of the Spirit of God starts to blaze abroad in the lives of the people of God and across the church of Jesus Christ, then and only then will we have that mighty fire that will roll across the city and the state and the nation. Then and only then will we see the spirit of burning, burning up the apostasy, burning up the idolatry, burning up the humanism. All these are enemies of the gospel. My friend, we can't start there. Judgment needs to begin at the house of God. Needs to start with us. He's the spirit of judgment and of burning. And the last title is that he is the spirit of might. We read that in Isaiah 11 verse 2. He's the spirit of might. That means he's the mighty spirit. He's the omnipotent spirit. But it means he is the source of all might and power for you and for me. He empowers the church of Jesus Christ. The power of God the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The spirit of might. Oh, how that brings us to the dust. Power in preaching can never come by human oratory. Now God can use human oratory. Spurgeon was a magnificent orator. Whitfield was an unparalleled orator. God used their oratory, but their power did not reside in their oratory. Power resides in the Holy Ghost. Power in preaching does not depend on great learning. God can use great learning. And as a Presbyterian, I believe strongly in a ministry that's educated in the things of God to the highest possible and attainable level. But power does not come simply from learning. Can I say that power does not even come from doctrinal orthodoxy? Oh, we need to be orthodox. I have no hesitation in saying my prayer to God would be, if ever an apostate would put his foot in this pulpit, that God would blow the place apart and burn it to the ground. This was not built as a temple for apostates. But there's many people who are right. Trouble is, they're dead right. I'm often asked, are you really a Calvinist? Yes, I am. If that's what the world wants to call people who believe in the doctrines of grace, yes, I'm a Calvinist. But I'm ashamed of the vast majority of people who profess those very doctrines. Utterly ashamed of them. They of all people ought to be on their knees, and yet they're not. They of all people ought to be consumed with the fire of evangelism, but yet they're not. They of all people ought to know the sovereign power of the Holy Spirit, and yet they don't. I want to tell you, my friend, power comes from the person of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be misunderstood here. The Lord can put up with a lot of things, and he does. Thank God he does, otherwise he'd never use any one of us. He can put up with a lot of things. I read the works of a man like John Wesley. John Wesley, in my opinion, was a spiritual giant who was wrong on a multitude of things. But when it came down to preaching justification by faith, regeneration by the Spirit, John Wesley had no betters. When it came to a man who wanted to know God in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, John Wesley was that man. I know people who have doubted whether the man was saved. What abject folly. What narrow-minded bigotry. God save us from it. Doubted whether the man was saved. They weren't fit to unloose his boots. Oh yes, I can disagree with many of his statements. But I want to tell you, God, when he deals with you and me, has to put up with an awful lot of imperfection. Immaturity. Downright folly. When he gives his Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, he gives that man, with all his imperfections, power. Power. The crying need of the Church of Jesus Christ today. We have looked at quite a few things in this final point. God willing, we'll examine them more fully in days to come. For the moment, let's go to our God. Let's get down before his face in prayer. And let's cry for the full and the unhindered working of God, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts, in our lives, in our church. The working of the Spirit in us and through us for the glory of Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.